So we want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. That is chapter 2, chapter 1. And verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. How many of them are holding fast and focus are the same? Do you know? Holding fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's say some very basic truths. You know, the reason why God has committed lives into your hands, into your trust, is to transform those lives. And the reason why you are able to transform those lives is because your life is transformed. Let me ask you a very personal question that you should answer publicly. You don't have to do more. How many of you can agree that your life has changed because of the gospel? Let me see your hand. You can. So, where has your life changed? Do you know? Because if you are preaching and teaching people to mold them, and you can't point to where your life has changed, so write down where your life has changed. The remarkable things about you. Are you calmer? Are you led by God's spirit? You know? Are you wiser? You know? Are you less selfish? Are you more sacrificial? So, where has your life changed? Now, for some of us, you can easily say, well, I had this prideful thinking before because I got born again, so I didn't have any story of, that's really pride. Because you think you need to party for before, or to carry girls or smoke weed before you are saved. That's stupid thinking. Sin is wider than that. Okay? So, you think, where has my life changed? Because I must go beyond the fact that the fundamental thing, I believe the gospel and I've exercised faith in it, but I've seen the proof in my pursuit, in my conduct, in my relationships. I don't have that disposition I used to have to life. So, if my life has changed, then why am I a leader? It's not because I am perfect, though I should strive to be, but it's because by the changes made in my life, with the word of God I am preaching, I'm able to change other people's lives. My ministry is not foisted, or let's say, is not fixed on how much my life has changed, because it's about what Christ has done and what he's doing by his spirit. However, the fruit of it is important in how I lead people. Because the word of God I preach must equally bear fruits in my life. So let me now ask you, whatever you have written, do you have confidence that this can happen to someone else? Let me see your hand. You have that confidence. Good. Now, this is important. Now, the danger here is, you are not supposed to use your faith to the point where everybody's faith is dependent on yours, but your testimony of that faith, right, is important in how lives change. So, fundamentally, is the fact that I know the gospel will change people's lives. So by the time my discipleship has a focus, I want to reproduce me through what has changed me. So that I won't be giving principles that I don't even understand. So, that said, now look at what Paul said to Timothy here. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in you. Now if there's something I've taught you well, and I've learned myself, and I'm learning, is that the work of the ministry is done by the leading of the Spirit. It's by the leading of God's Spirit. Now, by the leading of God's Spirit, I know you are exposed to that teaching. There's nowhere I've ever pastored that I didn't teach leading of the Spirit. I started teaching leading of the Spirit in 1994. That is, as a series. And I think it was in 95 that I taught following God's plan for your life. And I used Brother Higgins' book, Green, like this. And I taught that series for about 5 months. Following God's plan for your life. Then I took out to be led by the Spirit of God. So it's something I teach. So you cannot say I'm your pastor. Just like I can't pastor you, then you have hatred towards anybody. Even towards Muslims. It's not possible. I can't pastor you and you look down on denominations. I can't pastor you and I'm your pastor. Not that you are sharing me with somebody or somebody sharing you with me, something like that. You know, I'm your pastor. You can't do ethnic profiling. You can't even do religious profiling. It's not possible. I can't pastor you on Facebook or social media. It's not possible. Except you are just a member who is not pastored. So if I pastor you, you will know what I mean by the leading of the Spirit. You'll have heard different teaching over time. And I told you before, there is a teaching. I remember something Larry Amuson, my late friend, said. He said, it's not a teaching you can have in the reserve. Faith, healing, leading of the Spirit. There is not something you can say, I've heard it before. You know, there's something you can say, I've heard it before. Let me give you one. You can say, well, I've heard it before that Moses was 80 years old. I've heard it before that Jesus' cousin was Peter. You know, that kind of thing. That one you can reserve, but you can't be hearing that every day. Jesus' brother was Peter. What's that going to do for you? That's a good information. You can say, well, that Saul of Tarsus, that his parents were video class. Every day you are meditating on the word. Saul of Tarsus, experience a video class. That's not something you can meditate upon. But when you talk about being led by the Spirit, it's not something you should know casually or just have as an information. It must reflect in what you do. And you know, I said it earlier before we began the teaching mainly, that we are in a distracted world. You know, unlike when we were younger, there's this thing I posted, you remember where I posted it about, I said, the legend is coming home. I don't know if you have had that experience. You leave the house, they are coming. You are now thinking all sorts of stories that you are going to tell. You know, one day like that, I schooled at you in Lancaster School, so we used to say in Orojoki. So one day I just had to do an adventure. Let me walk home. I was in primary 2. So let me walk home. So I said to myself that if the driver, we didn't have a driver, but we had cousins that had a driver that came to me, because I said, if the driver is late, I will go home by myself. So I think the driver was late. I just started walking. You know, there were no phones, there was nothing. So I kept walking and walking and walking and walking. So by the time I got home, you know, my mom, my dad, I think some of my cousins, they were already at the balcony looking out for the legend. So that means that story. So I was coming like a G, like, you know, I can't even remember what they said, but I think my dad just started thanking God. My mom didn't. She just looked at me one time. I'm sure he must have calmed her down, not to minister as he should normally does. Because my father was like, if you minister to this boy, the next day he won't see me again. So I know my father can be very interested too. So he used to come to secondary school to come and pick us up during break. So there was one like that. Myself and my cousin, we said, let's go home ourselves. For the first time, just took public transport. Again, the same thing. They were trying, where did they go? You know, but I think they were calmer a little bit. But tell me now, source. My dad, first of all, he shouted, why did you take the risk? You went to the... I thought that he meant it. After the holidays, he asked us to go and take that bus. And return to Ibadan. And that is how it began from there till eternity. Should we know how to take bus? Go and take bus. You know, but you know, back in those days, you could say you are distracted because you want to visit somebody, you want to see somebody. But now you don't have to go anywhere. You can hang out for hours without leaving your house. Before you knew it, you had visited like 10 people. You know, visit this page, visit that person's page, visit that page, that page. Some of us, we can dodge it because we are not liking anything. So nobody will know that that's what they are doing. But it is in your body. You are not commenting, no, but you are just saying, I did now, that's how God someday will notice. So you will not go there. You wish. And now, the point is this. Yorubas have one saying. They say, Epampare, Ropun, Paja. Now, you are the one distracted, not Brotundi. So, you are dodging Brotundi. See, it's online. You are doing yourself. Mind my Greek word. So, you can get this. Without even knowing. You are there. And you know these days, I mean, you finish watching a good video where the word is taught. You just open another video. You just say, who is this? Before you know it, 2 hours ago. You didn't leave your house, but you have left your house. That's why I said, focus on your attention. Make sure you are not giving it away. So this is very important. So Paul says to Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words. Then he says, keep by the Holy Ghost. So I said, being led by the Spirit. Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say here. You can call it a core fact I want you to focus on. The leading of the Spirit always produces order. Because the very first work of the Spirit in Scripture, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, is to bring order. So, leading of the Spirit always produces order. So, it says, keep by the Holy Ghost, bring in the factor of order. How many of you love order? You've seen where things are in order. You go to the place and try to go to a clinic or something, or you know, want to go and buy a ticket for something. Then the guy who is selling the ticket is the person who is driving the bus. The person who says, they say, wait. They now put the ticket, they put the ticket where the, so, please, can you put the, you know, disorder. The leading of the Spirit produces order. Order. Things done the right way. Now, add this critical element. The leading of the Spirit need not be spectacular. Now, this is it. You know, many people think, and that's not you, you should know better, that leading of the Spirit is, when I say leading of the Spirit, you think what I'm saying is that they had a vision, an encounter, a dream. No, you should know how to recognize God's leading, which usually comes without the spectacular. What God is doing, and He wants you to do, will come outside the spectacular more often than not. Now, pause. Let me now say something. Do you know the most supernatural thing and the least spectacular thing around you? Stop. Please, stop. Stop. I want to say something. Note this very well, though. The most supernatural thing around you now that is the least spectacular is the person sitting beside you. That is usually the person you take for granted the least. The most, sorry. Alright, so the leader of the Spirit, I said the most is so unspectacular is man. Now, pause. The Bible in your hands is written by men. Is the least spectacular, but the most supernatural. So, being led by God's Spirit, you know, need not be spectacular. If many of us can hold dearly how God leads us through men, the same way, if not more, that we hold on to spectacular experiences, how much of God's plans will follow? So, we said the leading of the Spirit position. Do you know why God uses men like that? It's to bring order. Imagine if everybody is hearing a vision and seeing something, you know, somebody just get up and say, this is what me I saw. That's what I saw. You know, say, this is what I heard. This is what, I mean, have you sat down to listen to some of your disciples on what they came out of camp meeting with? Say, we're in one meeting, and then somebody says, I heard. Say, well, me, I'm the pastor. Do you understand? So that is what I said. I said, leading of the Spirit produces order. It need not be spectacular. So when Paul said, keep by the Holy Ghost, notice the background. He says, the form of doctrine that you heard of me, keep by the Holy Ghost. You heard of me, keep by the Holy Ghost. Now look at Exodus 18. We said, it needs not be spectacular. It needs not be spectacular. In the way you are running or leading the church under your care, either as a cell group, a fellowship center, or the main church as we call it here, you will do well, like we say in Word of Faith Circles. You will do well to take that leading of the Spirit very seriously. I was telling someone today, and we're talking about, okay, maybe someone rebuked you. You know, very easily, maybe Pastor Swami is trying to say something to me, and then he raises his voice, and he says, don't do that! You should not do that! You should have done this! Now, if I heard it in a vision, you know, I'll take it in reverence. I won't care about the tone, but, emoji, why now? Did you hear? Don't do that! In the vision, I say, emoji God. Why now? See how you discarded this one? Because it looks non-spectacular. So, you're particular about the tone. And that's why some of your husband can't correct you, your wife can't correct you, you know, you just be saying, no, I want to hear from God directly. I want to hear from God directly. And God is looking at you. You now be hearing demons. Now look at one remarkable thing that happened in the Exodus. Imagine a Moses with all the encounters that he had. I mean, he saw God the way I'm looking at you. Look at the numerous encounters that he had. The things that you and I are still desiring today. In Exodus 18, he was missing it. And God didn't say, hey, Moses. He wasn't bringing people to God, to the Lord. And Exodus 18 is father-in-law. I don't know how many of us listen to our father-in-laws. But he was a priest of God. His father-in-law now came, priest of Midian. And then the father-in-law says, what is it that you are doing to the people in verse 14? We read that the last time. He answered. Then the man said to him in 17, the thing that you are doing is not good. Stop. How many of you know that's God leading him? Huh? The thing that you are doing is not good. That will surely wear away. Interestingly, I've had this kind of experience before. It was also a father-in-law experience. And I took it that way that it's God telling me something for what this man is saying. He made a correction. That was in the earlier days of Saints Community Church. And we went for a crusade and now came back and now said, the way he said it, I've never shared this before ever. He now said that, hey, you guys in whole church, I said we did it. So I said we went for an outreach, we went for, he now said, that because it's a church, you should have left some people behind to hold the services. Not everybody went for that outreach. Some will just come to hear the word. He said, or you try and finish up Saturday night. That's what changed how we're doing things. I didn't have to pray. The pastors don't know what I'm talking about. He's hearing for the first time. I listened. I know he's a man of God. So when he said that, what he said, God's Spirit. So I just without having to make any noise about it. Reorder the way we used to go for meetings, and then we'll just unconsciously just cancel Sunday service. It would just be, you know how that, you know what I'm talking about? We just forget Sunday service. So I took that and we restructured those meeting days. It's our own meeting, though. We went for outreaches, maybe crusades. We said, no, that is a church that except it's what we're doing is the whole church being there. Maybe the workers convention. Maybe, but you're going for outreach. You said our focus should be on the services. And that's it. And it has had impact on us. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, now, what a good memory of a man. So in Exodus 18, he says, what you are doing is not good. And for some of us, we like to argue a lot. You argue with your husband, argue with your wife. You're always arguing. That's how you argue with God. And no, that's what you are doing. You're arguing. You know, I said something today in the service when I was talking. I said yesterday that you can be reading the Bible to be right, not to be faithful. Be faithful. Faithfulness always has honesty. So here we are. He said, what you are doing is not good. You will wear yourself away. These people that are with you, this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it in thyself alone. You know, you should have asked, how come Moses didn't see it? Would you have seen it too? See, God made all of us, right, to lack omniscience by default. You can't know everything. That is why you are led by the Spirit. Don't get to the point where you say, I already know what to do. Yes, by God's Spirit, but not in the natural. So here we have Jethro. Now look at how Jethro led Moses without anything spectacular. And that was how he was able to lead these people for 40 years. He didn't come from the angel of the Lord. He didn't come, the order that came to Israel was the leading of the Spirit. But it was not spectacular. Arguably, and you know that, look at me guys, you know you can have all the move of God. If there is disorder, you won't see the effect. This leading is so critical, and God used someone. Exodus 18. Now look at what that leading was. It produced order. He said, look, I'll give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou to the people to God, for the people to God word, that thou mayest bring the causes to God, that thou shalt teach them. Now pay attention. Why do you think he could speak to Moses? They had a relationship of honor, respect, and deference. Before you can hear God through people, you must put them in that position yourself. If they are not in that, you are the one that will choose to put them in that position. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. I heard this from Buddy Harrison. Brother Hagin commented on it. Now, there's a book about spiritual authority. It was one of the first books I read from Buddy. That was, I read it in 1994. Buddy Harrison was his son-in-law. He now said something. And I stopped. That day, you know, I was used to reading E.W. Kenyon, Redemption Realities and all of that. And those were things that moved us. So when I read that, it was about leadership. He said, God always uses authority figures. Because of the orderliness. So anybody you place in authority over you, that's why you have to be careful who you marry. And I'm not talking about just the women, though, even the men. Because the woman in your life has authority in your life. You have to be careful the people you submit yourself to as friends. Because those are the people around you that God should naturally use. Now, if there are people that are not given to the leading of the Spirit, they are in the flesh, they are always, you know, that's how your life will turn out. So, when I read that about the Harrison, he was talking about spiritual authority, I went to spiritual authority. It's a book like that he wrote many years ago, Brother Hickel's son-in-law, who, just we're talking about in-laws today, who was the husband of Mama Patsy Harrison. She's also 80, so I can't say Patsy Harrison. That'd be too much. He says, God, now look at verse 20. You will teach them ordinances and laws and show them the way, the word alak, that they must walk. Yalak, sorry. the way they must walk, and the work that they must do. The work that they must do. This is discipleship. And who did God use? Someone Moses was with for 40 years. That God did not even use him to tell Moses to go back to Egypt. But at this point, you know, naturally, that would be the only person Moses could look up to. And that's the one God used. He would have thought God didn't lead him. He would have thought, you know, this one, maybe I didn't hear from God. Kelly Copeland, well, it's not Par Copeland. Once told the story of how himself and the wife, Gloria Copeland, also Mama Gloria Copeland, the Africans. And they were wondering, why are we having this struggle? Said, went back to me, Brother Hagin. Because he was the one that God used. Brother Hagin now told them and smiled. Said, God was leading you. He now told them what they should do. That's how they got it right. They didn't pray to hear it. It's just a simple biblical principles. Something you're going to pray about and go and pray about. Talk to somebody who has authority over your life. Even when the person just talks, the person may not even know that's what's happening. And that's God leading you. So I said, leading of the Spirit need not be spectacular. So he now says, look at this. He said, you teach them the walk and the walk. Then he says in 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people. You will provide out of the people. And the word he uses here to provide out of the people is an Hebrew word, chazah. C-H-A-Z-A-H. It means to give them a vision or a direction. But let's pause there. We'll get to that. Notice that was exactly what Paul said to Timothy. The things you have heard of me among many witnesses, 2 Timothy 2:2, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice that there was a semblance of continuity and structure. He said to him, he said, look, we have rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. So pause. So can you see that having specific number in ministry is biblical? If you are here now, you say, Brother John, Brother Kola, your cell is meant to be over 50 people. Can you see it? Can you see it? Over 100 people. Those over thousands. He said, this is how you should do it. He said, then the major matters can come to you. Very important analysis. And this is how the church was run from this point to the book of Revelation. Even Jesus chose 12 disciples. Then he had 70. He had 120. Then they had the apostles. Everything in ministry today that came as a structure and order came from this experience. So, you must learn to run the ministry in an orderly way. And how does order come? Order comes from listening to the right authority. We all cannot lead. Do you understand that? We all. There has to be a leading of the Spirit that he has placed in people over the work of the ministry. So, listen to what I'm about to say. And I like to say, some of you are leaders, you should know the import of leadership. And I said, you know, you can like things. But you won't do them, not because they are sinful, but because the work of the ministry requires order. Paul says, eating meat is good, food offered to idols, but because of service, because of what we do, if eating meat can make my brother to sin, I would rather not take it. So which means that, pay what I'm saying, listen carefully, I will never place my personal liberty and freedom over the collective good of the body of Christ. Did you hear what I just said? I won't place my personal liberty and freedom over the collective good of the body of Christ. Well, this is how I like to dress. This is how I like to do this one. This is what... That does not suffice. Because there's a common good greater than that your personal preference. So, that orderliness in the work of a ministry will stem from how you see what you are doing. Last month we looked at the fact that you are not over the body of Christ. I've said that over the years. You are not over the body of Christ. Your contribution to the body of Christ are the men and women under your care. And when this is not there, you'll be arguing. You'll be arguing, you know, you just be, and some of you, you like things like that, not you here. You just be on Twitter. You are sharing something very deep. Somebody is saying, no, that's not it. Yeah. And you now feel that you have done well. And you don't have anything to take home. Winning debates. Arguing. Many of you don't know, those arguments are distractions. They are. Those engagements. You think, no, you have to get this done. Because it's the work of a ministry. We have to defend the faith. See, Jesus had enough Pharisees and Sadducees. He spent more time explaining God's word to his followers than those people. In fact, he never went to them, they came to him. In Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, what did he do? When he was speaking the parable, he said, what was he talking about? He now separated his disciples. He now said, what are you saying, sir? So to you it is given to know the mission of the kingdom, to them it is not. Mark 4:13. He said, it is to them it is not. Those who are without. So he had a focus. The people that were with him most of the time were his own disciples. So when you see how the work expanded, Acts 2 was 3,000, then it was 5,000, then it was multitude. It came out of focus. The kind of focus. I'm not asking you not to love the body of Christ, but you are not a discipler for another person's church. Focus on your own church. Face your own cell group. Face your own cell group. Matthew 13 verse 11. Say it is you. Mark 4, 11, sorry. Mark 13, 11. Say to them it's not given, but to you it is given. It's given to you. A specific you. Now listen, top guys. Did that you grow? Huh? That you, did it grow? That's the difference between a cult. A cult is that you want to keep some people to yourself and all that. No, that's not the reason. It's so that what you are doing will grow. You know, a cult is very difficult to join a cult. I've not been in one anyway. Close saying, no, this one. It was to train them to get the job done better. Jesus couldn't have reached the world as a human being. Same as Moses. But from what we read from Jethro, he says, provide. Provide there includes training. We're going to see that as we go further. He was able to separate them. Well, if we're arguing, no, we don't think so. They say, He just said, He just looks at them. Then when they are gone, my people, oh yeah, let's go inside the room. He's explaining the word. He's teaching. Because he was able to do that, by Matthew 9, they were following him all the meetings. They were going with him. He now says, the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few, pray not that the same for laborers. Who did he send in Matthew 10? The same people. You see right application in the social media? Some people say, vacancy, we need men of God. Those who can teach the word. Come Christocentric people. Yeah, spend time. People that do that never spend time to train anybody. I'm saying it without vocation. In Matthew 26, right? 27, 28, sorry. When he rose from the dead, who did he appear to? The same people. In Matthew 17, who did he go to pray with? The same set of people. Mark 3:14 says, so that they will be with him. You must know your own assignment. And not just know it, separate yourself to that assignment. Thank God for reaching out to the body of Christ, which would eventually happen if you focus on the people under your care. You see a number of people that are trained by you, taught by you. You just discover that they are blessing people that you couldn't reach. But you have spent your time separating, focusing on them. He spent quality time. When he rose from the dead again, they had issues. They were doubters. What did he do? He still separated them again and kept teaching, training them. So when we get to the book of Acts, Acts 1, the same set was separated, Acts 4, 14, 15. By Acts 2, what happened again? As the Holy Ghost came on them in Acts 2, people started mocking, "This new one, what is this one?" I mean, if you notice the thousands that were there. Peter got up and preached. When he preached, 3,000, more, about 3,000 were added to the church, Acts 2, 41. What did they do again? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They separated them again. Not that you now be saying, okay, they are now arguing, those who are mocking, those who are, look, don't waste your time. Some of us will lose our harvest because we want to have ego fights. At the end of the day, when they focus on those, that number, you know, in the first season, they were mocking them. By Acts 5, the chief priest said, they have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. By being focused on that specific set of people, when they threatened in Acts 4, 23 and 24, where did they go back to? Their company. Their company. Look at Acts 19. Never get distracted with the opposition. Did you hear what I said? Never. I've discovered this in anything in life. Never. People have asked me, how are you able to do this? I said, well, you have to be able to look away. You have to be able to look away. If you think you want to attend to it, no, I need to make a point. I need to do this one. Someone told me this. He said, this was just today. He said, you know, I know some people who didn't like you for whatever reasons. He told me the reason. One funny reason I got. He said, but I just noticed that gradually he started listening to you again. He said, what I found out was, it's because you just kept doing what you were doing. I won't even engage you. Because there's no point. Because that slowing down to talk to you is what the devil wants me to do. Focus. And many of us need to learn that in life generally. Focus. Some people, when I talk to you, I say, your head is full with people's stories. Your head is filled with people's, a lot of things, you know, your head is baptized with stories. You won't be able to meditate on the word of God, though. You won't. Acts 19. Paul was opposed. Look at 9. Divers. Now, he went to synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. The spirit of prophecy concerning the kingdom of God. That's 3 months. You can call the 3 months, you're about to call the Ashedano. You were just wasting time. 3 months. Then by verse 9, divers were hiding and believed not, and spoke evil of that way before the multitude. Now he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing them in his own tyrannus, and continued for 2 years. What now happened? All Asia heard it. Put it near your Bible, say focus. Put it in that verse. That's focus. He separated them again. At the end of the day, the whole Asia was reached. The whole Asia was reached. Are you learning something here? Know them. We're not saying separate them. The word of God doesn't say separate them. So that you now have them. No. Separate them so that you can fulfill your work. At the end of the day, the whole country had it. I told some people one time. They said, if you want to oppose us, I said, look. I said, this hall that you have chased us from, we're coming back there. And we're going to fill this place. The same hall. I said, we're going to fill this place. The same hall. Years later, we came there. The same hall, they go out. They practically, I was preaching at the church, someone come and chase us off. Say the same place. I won't argue. I don't have to be focusing on you. What's my point? I'll face my work. I'm coming to the same place. And that's it. Be focused. How is I writing an article? Some people don't like us in this ministry. You're wasting your time. If it's just one person who heard you, separate that person. You're not going to stay with that person. If you focus on that person, it's like a seed. It will grow. So, Jesus does the same thing. Paul does the same thing. What is the intention? 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you have heard of me among many witnesses. The same, he says, commit to faithful men. He uses the word parataitemi in the Greek, which means to deposit into faithful men. Faithful men, not those who are arguing, not those who are mocking or shaming your ministry. Leave those ones. Commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. The same thing that Moses did in Exodus 18, where he provided from amongst the people, elders, to train people. Your job as a pastor, as a leader, is to train people. You must know the people that you are training. Hence, we have to reemphasize that follow-up is not checking somebody and sharing the word that he just heard in the service again. That's not all follow-up is. Follow-up is training. You take the brother to pray. You take the sister to go and teach the word. The person follows you to see how it is done and goes to do it again. Follow up. Be focused. Be focused on the people you ought to train. When you do that, they will increase. Just like Moses. Just like Paul. So we said you have to know what you are doing. Know exactly what you are doing. Check us back some as many years as I'm glad some of people are in, I'm not the one that don't. As many years of many people that have been working with us, they say, it's the same thing he's doing. Know it. Number two, I said, continue in it. Learn to continue. Put that in your notes. I must learn to continue. Three, keep at it. Paul told Timothy to keep those things that he has heard. Number four, increase your capacity. Paul didn't just do the public meetings and the school of Tyrannus. In Acts 20:20, he now went to house. Increase your capacity. Increase your capacity. And finally, be focused. I'm emphasizing focus consistently in a deliberate way. Be focused. Be focused on what you are doing. Be focused on your goal. What is your goal? My goal is to ensure that 1,000 people are being trained for the work of the ministry through my fellowship. That's your goal. Be focused. You are going to meet a lot of bumps on the road. You are going to meet a lot of obstacles. Be focused. Ensure that you keep doing what you are and we're doing. Be focused. I'll say this again, like I told some of you who are in leadership. You can't expect a cell group to grow when you don't have time for them. It won't happen. You are expecting something magical to happen. Imagine you have spent vigils. You are praying. You have prayed and prayed. Throughout the week, you had two vigils for your cell group. One vigil. Then, you don't attend the fellowship meeting. The brethren need someone to speak to them. You are not there. Your prayer is for somebody else. You must spend time with the people God has given to you. If it is career you want to face as your primary duty, go and do it. But you have to know which one is first. Of course, your career has to blossom. It has to glorify God instead of your conduct and all of that. However, life is about priority. Something must come first. It must come first. And usually, where we have challenges to priorities, because whatever is coming second or third are also very good things. You must know your conviction and know what is first. What is first? In your marriage, what is first? What do you think is the most important thing in your marriage? Now, what you will put second or third may look very good too, but is that as important as the first one? In your business, what's the most important thing? What is the most important thing in your ministry, in your cell group? What can I say? Prayer, which is true. What you do when no one is there. But the most important thing are the people. Spending time with them. Praying with them. Ministering to them. Teaching, training, imparting their lives. Are close here. Without which, you can't make progress with them. Without which, you can't make progress with them. Be focused. Be dedicated to it. All the time. Let me say this. And to all leaders here. Irrespective of the results we are getting. Create more time. In John 15. It says the one that was not bearing fruit. He raised up so that I can bear fruit. The one that was bearing fruit. He started to prune it again and purge it so it can bear much more fruit. At no point should you be satisfied with the fruit that you are getting. Create more time. I remember one day, this is for me personally, but it can bless you. I was complaining to myself, how people were bothering me, you know, I needed time to do stuff like that. And then the Lord said, would you rather that nobody needs you? Would you rather have more time to go for social hangouts? I've not had time with my colleagues, are hanging out at the beach. I've not been there. But if that's what's on your heart, you're going to get that. And God is so interesting. It will be somebody, just like the Gentiles, that you are looked down on, they'll just fill your role easily. Brothers and sisters, God has options. He does. He has options for your cell group. He has options for the pastor of Saints Community Church. He has options for all the pastors. He has options for anybody you are looking at. He has options. Dedicated. Be focused and watch the work grow in strength, in number, in durability, in consistency. If you are pastoring a fellowship that does not have the capacity today of producing another one, you are yet to start. You have built nothing much yet. You have to build something that can build others. That can plant others. That can sustain others. Then you have just begun the work of the ministry. My time is up. Let's stand to our feet. And just bless God. Keep your focus. Pray for yourself as we close. To keep your focus.